This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's talk to Trader Nick in the USA. Good afternoon from London. Good morning to you, Nick.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
Indeed. And it's the first Friday of the month. And of course, that means it's non-farm payroll day, the latest jobs numbers. And well, we've seen slightly stronger than expected jobs with the number at 139,000 in May, compared with an estimate of 130,000. And the unemployment rate stays the same. So how have markets reacted to this news?
Yeah, Johnny. So this was a really heavily anticipated number because I want to just kind of set up the scene a little bit before we talk about those numbers more. This week, right, we've seen some scrutiny of the labor market because you had JOLTS job openings, which were better than expected. But then you had ADP numbers, which at this point, I had someone, a friend of mine, text me this morning. He said they should just stop reporting ADP numbers because they're so off in terms of their recent performance of trying to forecast what NFP is going to be like. It's been so, you know, off. That being said, ADP numbers, the private payroll, not very impressive. Actually really kind of spooked the markets. And following it, of course, we saw the call out from Trump to Powell saying, you know, too late, Powell, once again, kind of resuggesting that he should have already been cutting interest rates by now, all of that, you know, thesis. And then, of course, we had the initial jobless claims on Thursday as well, which missed expectations. So I'm just kind of catching us up to speed from when we last spoke. Jobless claims were higher than expected. So we did see some weakness in the labor market prior to the NFP report. Then, as you've suggested here, we did get a beat on the NFP report. But was it a massive beat? Not particularly. But I'll tell you why the stock market really likes this. The stock market really likes this because, first of all, there were some whispered numbers towards the end. Actually, I see forecast actually dropped just narrowly before. Just so the forecast number went from 130,000 jobs, which I think you suggested. I see now on my side, it dropped just slightly to 126,000. Not a big one, but not a big drop, but a suggestion that, again, analysts, the market community, kind of uncertain about all this tariff stuff and all of the ramifications. This 90-day pause is dragging on. I'm sure that in coming podcasts, we'll be talking about that. We're getting close to the deadline on some of that stuff. So anyways, the NFP report, as you mentioned, did come in better than expected. However, they also revised the previous number, which was a really solid 177,000 jobs. They revised that down to 147. So there was a revision lower on that front. The market really liked, however, that unemployment rate stayed the same, forecasted to stay at 4.2%. We did get that check mark. Still a really solid labor employment rate. And then the average hourly earnings also ticked up. We got a 0.4% month over month rise compared to the forecast at 0.3. So people are getting wage increases. And we do have to remember and put this into perspective, Johnny. A couple of years ago, people's wage increases were being outpaced by inflation. Now, wages are outpacing in the United States the rate of inflation at this time, making people feel a little bit better. We also saw that in the CB consumer confidence. So something's looking up, regardless of the kind of dire, scary world that we're living in right now.
Indeed. And it looks almost as if we're in a bit of a holding pattern at the moment, doesn't it? Because these numbers are fairly flat in terms of what expectations were. And with all the conversations, the toing and the froing, the roller coaster we've had with Donald Trump and the tariffs, we don't know where we're going with that at the moment. When you look at the negotiations with China, with the EU, we've got an issue between Trump and Musk, whether or not that has any bearing on the general or indeed the global economy. We'll wait and see. But it is difficult, isn't it, to speculate at the moment as to where we are going. Although the economy of the United States doesn't seem to be in that poor health at the moment, which is encouraging, isn't it?
It is. If we think about what makes the economy, it's the consumer. And the consumer, through all of this, like you and I, Johnny, we've done this podcast together for some time. And I imagine listeners who have stuck around with us can maybe even remember times during like 2022 where we were staring very intently at that inflation number rising and rising and rising. And we were keeping one eye over here on the NFP report saying, you know, where's that really bad jobs data? And we really, to the credit of the US economy, we kept calling it resilient during that time because the unemployment rate did not have some giant run up. We didn't go to 10% unemployment rate. And so we still see to this day, the US economy has been shockingly resilient in terms of its ability to keep people employed, to still add jobs, even in a world that is so uncertain right now, as you pointed out, with the tariff dynamics and you know, just all the uncertainty surrounding so many things. We have this big, beautiful bill, which I know we're going to, you know, briefly touch on with the Musk and Trump fallout. We have the multitude of reasons to be uncertain, and yet we still see CEOs putting up really good numbers in their earnings reports in corporate America. People are still employed, and that keeps the consumer relatively stable, which I think is what has kept us in a decent position all of this time through all of this high inflation, geopolitical wars flaring up. It's that unemployment rate that has kept things stable.
And of course, inflation seems to be under control at the moment. Now, we alluded to it a little bit earlier on, the spat between Trump and Musk. And I've just read a report just come off the wires now that the president, Donald Trump, is considering selling his Tesla, according to a senior White House official. If you remember, it was quite a thing, wasn't it, when that red Tesla he purchased when he was trying to help Elon Musk promote his company. A lot of eyebrows were raised during that particular media conference. But now there's no love lost at the moment between the two. And Trump has told CNN, apparently, he's not even thinking about Elon. He's got a problem, he says. The poor guy's got a problem. And he's described Musk to ABC News as the man who has lost his mind. Now, do you think they can make up again, or is it going to be too much bad blood? Or is this just part of the soap opera?
You know, I think the critics of Elon Musk and Donald Trump, who, you know, we prior to yesterday would have lumped in the same team, probably had a lot of popcorn yesterday and popped champagne and this, that, and the other, right? However, on the other side of the aisle, people who are fans of these people, obviously were probably in turmoil, right? Really, this is a schism that is kind of a tell in terms of the current administration. Yes, Elon Musk is no longer in a position of political power, but he has significant political influence even without a position in the White House, right? He has a massive following. He controls a platform that has a massive potential to influence voters, and even making the claim in his own post that he thinks that Trump wouldn't have won without his help, which was a big statement that he made. And, you know, there was, as you pointed out, a spat back and forth. They both made personal insults and, more importantly, even some contractual insults. You know, there was the SpaceX and Tesla contracts with the government that Trump called into scrutiny, saying we could save money by cutting those, and Elon Musk firing back, "Be my guest." I mean, it got ugly very quickly. And like I said, a lot of popcorn was probably eaten yesterday.
But don't you think, Nick, that from a commercial and business point of view, this is dangerous territory for Elon Musk, because he's already alienated the progressives, shall we call them, and they have stopped buying Teslas. We've seen the numbers, a dramatic fall in the sale of Teslas, and you know, some awful things happening, people burning them and vandalizing them. But now he might alienate the other side of the political spectrum by going against Trump, and he's going to end up with not very much in the middle.
You know, I mean, let's think about the customer base of Tesla that has been challenged by this. We have, okay, Europe, which is a little bit more of a progressive society. They have more EVs in general. That's a big demander. They don't particularly like Trump or Elon Musk, maybe perhaps due to his proximity to Trump or a list of other reasons. I mean, he's a controversial guy. Whether you like him or dislike him, it's fair to recognize that he is a controversial figure and has strong opinions. Let's take a look at China. Well, the tariff situation makes Teslas potentially a much harder sell in China, even though the people of China really love Teslas and they're a very popular product there. That can be challenged by rising tariff circumstances. circumstances. And Elon Musk even calling into scrutiny the tariffs imposed by Trump, saying that they would cause us to go into a recession in the second half of the year. You know, big, big claims here. And then to your point, yes, this alienates the other side that maybe was showing up to support him. Of course, there will still be people who, you know, side with Elon on all this and you know, maybe still go buy and support his cars. I also wonder how much truly, you know, this was all kind of a opportunity for Elon Musk that went bad. What I mean by that is being close to the president, perhaps negotiating things that were favorable towards his company, EV, you know, legislation and you know, favoritism from the White House and things like that. And then also perhaps some exceptions on the tariffs, and losing that is a huge risk to Tesla, because that you know, favorable rules of the road that he could have potentially influenced or been a part of, clearly Trump accusing Elon Musk of having his going crazy moment, quote unquote, in reaction to kind of realizing that some of the political decisions, the administrative decisions, were not going to be super favorable to Tesla. And, you know, just an update on Tesla's stock performance. Take a look at the recent high of May 29th. Now, this is, of course, following a really strong run-up in the stock. Yesterday, at one point, we were down as much as 25% on the stock. That is a massive drop in what is a very large American company.
And in terms of the dollar, Nick, how has this NFP number affected the greenback?
So as we just got done going through all of those different data points that we got through, you know, the jobless claims and all that stuff this week, the dollar had been kind of in a run to the downside, actually coming back to its recent lows around the 98.50 level, if you're looking at the DXY. Losing ground against most currencies this week, the dollar index looked soft. However, going into the NFP print, or after the NFP print, I should say, we did seemingly find some good support around this 98.50 level at the time of recording this. Although I think that this is just the start of a good data point that we would need in order to really see a reversal in the dollar. So far, year to date, Johnny, when we take a look at the dollar index from its highs in January, the dollar index, I'm taking a look, like I said, at DXY, is down somewhere in the region of 10%. I mean, that is a big move for a currency, none other than, you know, the biggest currency, the dollar index. So we've seen a little bit of a bounce back, but it's nothing super impressive at this time. I think really we're going to need to see not just an NFP report come in, as you've suggested, you know, it pretty flat to expectations, not super impressive, not super disappointing. We're going to need more than that to break the dollar index out of its downward kind of spiral, this downward trend that we've seen this year. We also know, in terms of the dollar index, historically, Trump wants a weaker dollar, and he's in some ways getting it, whether it was the way that he intended or not. We do see a weaker dollar on some softening in the economic data reports this week. We had services and manufacturing PMIs both come in soft. We saw a rejection for technical traders watching their charts around 102 on the dollar index. We saw sellers come in pretty aggressively back in mid-May and have followed through. So I really think that if you're going to get a consistent move higher in the dollar index from here, you're going to want to see the inflation reports next week come in higher than expected, which of course would not necessarily be a good thing for the global situation. But if you're looking at dollar upside, we would need something to kind of take us out of this funk that would be breaking the downward trend of economic data we've seen recently.
Now, let's look ahead to the week to come. What should we expect over the next few days?
Yeah, so next week, Johnny, we have some really important stuff to follow up with this NFP report. We have, starting out Monday, it gets quiet. But then when we take a look at Tuesday, we have the UK, some employment data out of the UK. We also have on Wednesday, the core CPI, the CPI from the United States. That's a big one for next week. That's going to be on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we follow that up with GDP numbers for the UK in the morning for us and for the UK, and then also middle of the night for us, morning for the UK. And then we take a look at the producer price index number that will follow for the United States, as well as the weekly initial jobless claims, unemployment claims. And then on Friday, we get some more consumer sentiment from the University of Michigan. So an action-packed week to follow this action-packed week.
Okay, Nick, thank you very much. We look forward to speaking to you next week. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.